You are listening to From Embers, a weekly show on CFRC 101.9 FM about anarchist and anti-authoritarian ideas and practice. We are broadcasting from the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples on land that has come to be called Kingston, Ontario, Canada, because of the thievery and brutality of the Canadian state and its empire-loving parents. From Embers is about fires, some real and some metaphorical. Fires started generations ago and tended to over the years. Little sparks all across this territory that we hope will grow, spread, and engulf the thieving state called Canada and the capitalist system that has plagued this land since the fur trade. This week on From Embers, I'm sharing an interview that I did recently with two members of the Montreal Anarchist Book Fair Collective. The Montreal Anarchist Book Fair is the largest anarchist gathering in North America, and this May will mark its 20th year. The book fair is a two-day event with groups and publishers tabling books and zines for sale or sometimes for free, as well as workshops and events. But it's also more than that. It's an annual gathering for anarchists from across the region and beyond, where people come together in both structured and informal ways to share ideas, hang out, argue, and reconnect with old friends. It's also a space for people who are curious about anarchism or new to radical politics to learn more about what anarchists and anarchism are all about. In the interview, we talk about balancing space for people to discover new ideas with space for people to hash out old conversations. We talked about how best to ensure that the space feels safe, fun, and accessible for as many anarchists and anarcho-curious folks as possible. We talked about what it takes to organize an event this large, and about the hate mail you get when you realize you can't do it in a way that satisfies everybody. Here's the interview.
I am a member of the organizing collective for the Montreal Anarchist Book Fair, and I've been doing that for the last 3 years. And other than that, I'm an anarchist from Montreal.
So my answer is exactly the same. I am also an anarchist from Montreal who has been on the Book Fair Collective for the last 3 years.
And briefly, what is the Montreal Anarchist Book Fair?
The Montreal Anarchist Book Fair is a lot of things. It's a, well, for anyone who's been there, the most obvious thing is it's a space for people to sell books or their print material. So we have zines, posters, things like that, some artsy, crafty type stuff occasionally, but it's primarily books and zines. And as well, we have a full schedule of workshops, and it's 2 days every year in May. And so we have two full days of vendors, two full days of workshops. It's an annual event, and it is our 20th year.
I just wanted to add, there's also an art exhibition, Art and Anarchy, which is put on by the Art and Anarchy Collective in cooperation with the Montreal Anarchist Book Fair Collective. So that's going to be on for almost a month, but it also is open during the 2 days of the book fair.
And all of that is also part of the Festival of Anarchy that happens in Montreal every May. And so what that is just a collection of various events around the city in May, kicking off with May Day, of course, that take place around anarchism. There's the Anarchist Theater Festival, Film Festival, things like that that go on. And there's always speakers, dance parties, weird demos. You know, anything that happens during the month of May, we kind of just draw a circle around it and call it the Montreal Festival of Anarchy. So, and it does conclude with the book fair.
How did you each come to be involved in that? How did you get started? Why did you want to do that?
I mean, want is a strong word. I've heard some people refer to it as anarchist jury duty in Montreal. So everyone kind of does their time, in a sense, organizing the book fair.
Every anarchist.
So I have a friend who was and is on the Book Fair Collective before I joined and invited me to be on the collective. And I thought it was an interesting idea, because I don't really like formal anarchist organizing, and so I thought it would be a bit of a personal challenge to learn to work with others. And so I took them up on it, and also I invited my friend here to come along and join with me, because we've been friends for over a decade and work well together, and I thought you'd be a really, really strong person to have on the collective, just of what I know with their skills and all the things that you'd bring to it would far exceed what I bring to it.
That's not true.
What do? I do nothing.
You can do a decent interview. That's not true at all. Thank you, but it's not true. That pretty much describes how I became part of the Book Fair Collective. At the time, I hadn't been involved in any kind of organizing for quite some time. So, yeah, it was presented to me as, like, maybe this would be something, you know, that would help you get out of the house. which I was like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. So for me, it was to get more back, you know, get involved again in the community, and also to, like, kind of challenge my own mental health issues, which it has. But yeah, no, so that's how I joined.
And what do you think is, like, the point of the book fair? Like, what's it for?
Well, it's a good question, because I often joke that the book fair it's an institution, you know, it's its own juggernaut. It kind of is unstoppable in this way. It's like a weird fixture of Montreal. It's a weird fixture of anarchism in Montreal specifically. And I think the role that it plays, like, why is it there? There's so many different things, and it really is something different to a lot of people. And that's something that we become aware of as collective members, but also as people who've been coming to the book fair for a really long time. I think my first time I went to the book fair was in 2006, maybe. And to me, the place that the book fair has in Montreal and as an anarchist event is really that it's a community event. It's a social event. For better or worse, it's a social event. And it's a place where we meet friends who are, this is the only time they come back to town. And it's somewhere where we share ideas and we get in arguments and we see our friends' new zines in their distro, and we scheme and we plan for the next year, and where people come to reconnect and learn a thing and reach out and get to have a place where it's a space for anarchists. And that's something where, you know, and to me that's really significant, because the rest of the year and the rest of the world gets to have everything. They have everything. We get this one little weekend where, you know, we're just weirdos. We're radicals. We're coming together and just putting this really beautiful thing together and having a space that's for us, and also inviting to people who might be interested in these ideas. You know, one of the biggest things, the feedback we get, you know, that our friends, our comrades tell us is always, it's so overwhelming. It's this overwhelming weekend where you're shoulder to shoulder in this venue with, you know, 1,000 anarchists of different tendencies, and people who you see once a year from across the room, and people whose politics that you have nothing to do with, even though it's all in this one tiny realm of anarchy, in a sense. It's a bit of a pressure cooker, in a sense, because it's got an intensity to it. And so I think that as much as it is a place to read things, get books, share literature, share ideas, have workshops, talk about ideas, learn things, it's also something that's, you know, it has a feeling about it, and it is overwhelming. It's social. And so it's a lot of things to a lot of people.
And it brings in a lot of people who don't necessarily identify as anarchists. As much as it's there for us, it's also there to welcome people outside of anarchy and to introduce them to anarchy in an open way, not like a forceful way, but...
Not yet.
But yeah, like, I mean, I know lots of people who are anarchists who absolutely love the book fair and love coming to the book fair and who are also involved in organizing. So, I mean, like, not every single person who participates in the book fair is an anarchist. But, you know, it's the weekend where everybody really, I mean, we all come together anyways outside of the book fair, but it just seems like it's the weekend where anarchy brings everyone together. And that's really nice.
How do you kind of balance those different purposes or roles? Like, definitely when I go to the book fair, it has this kind of like summer camp reunion vibe. But I also understand that it's supposed to be like for people who are curious about anarchism to show up and maybe like pick up their first ever anarchist zine, learn about things. When you're thinking about how to put the event together, how do you imagine balancing all those different kind of goals?
That's another good question, because it's something that we... You know, we discuss a lot in our meetings as well, because, you know, we have different perspectives on it. We have different ideas of, you know, what the event is and how we balance that. Because, again, you know, long before I was on the collective, I was someone who was coming to the book fair. And for me, it was something that is so social, and it was something that, you know, I don't personally find it overwhelming. I also have been an anarchist for, you know, many years before moving to Montreal, and even before becoming part of the collective, before coming to the book fair. And so it's not somewhere where I discovered anarchy. And so putting myself in those shoes, I think, can be a bit difficult for me personally. It is a bit of a juggling act, because on one hand, we want it to be a space that anarchists feel good, you know, that we're strong, that we can talk about our ideas, and it's the, you know, one time in one space where it's accepted and understood, I guess is a better way of putting it. It's understood. And there's an exclusivity implied in that. And obviously the exclusivity is a problematic thing. And so in making it an anarchist event that's for anarchists, it's by anarchists, it's about anarchists, is it something that turns people off? And is that something that's the task of the book fair to change? Or is it our job to make anarchy more appealing to people who aren't anarchists? And I think, yes. I would say no.
I would say yes.
And this is something that we have a friendly back and forth about.
Okay, I can come from a different perspective and experience with book fair. I started going a few years after started going. And where I was at, I mean, I was an anarchist, but I was more of a, it was more of a personal thing. It wasn't something I had completely immersed myself in socially. So for me going there at like the first year I went, I had very, very little money. And I remember going, like, I had wanted to go to the book fair for years and I just didn't ever do it for whatever reason. And so I finally went and thought, you know, I don't have any money to buy anything. I'm just going to look around. And I ended up leaving with so much information, like so much, you know, just like pamphlets and flyers and, you know, goodies, stickers and buttons, pins or whatever. And I remember thinking, like, this is the best community. I feel so, it's so accessible. Like, for me personally, it felt very accessible. And it just made me feel really like alive. I know it sounds cheesy, but that's really how I felt. I like, how do you word that? Not pushing anarchy on people. I absolutely don't do that. But I mean, I like...
Proselytize?
I don't know.
Advocate for?
Yeah, I like to...
Strongly suggest?
I like to...
invite?
I like to advocate for anarchy, for sure. And yeah, for me, the book fair is like, if you aren't turned on to this, this is what's going to turn you on to this. So, I mean, I like the event to be really accessible. That's something that's a priority for me. You know, like this year I tried to, I mean, we all tried to, but like, I'm just talking from my personal goals, was to bring in more BIPOC people, more BIPOC content. I'm also a person of color. So that is really important to me for obvious reasons. also like just making the venues more accessible, because the main venue where we've had the book fair for years is only, they don't have an elevator. So that's why we had started getting the other venue, which is across the park, because they have an elevator, so it's accessible. But now we've tried to transfer more workshops over to the second venue, instead of having them on the second and third floors, because people would always be excluded. So there's a lot of, we've really tried to tackle the accessibility issue from different perspectives this year, from different angles rather. Yeah, like the care space too, is it's a way to offer up not just a space for people to kind of like unwind and recenter themselves, but that is what it is. But it's also a space where some people who have, you know, some maybe underlying health issues and don't have the funds or the means or for whatever reason to go and get help, at least at the book fair this year, we're hoping that some people will benefit from having a healthcare practitioner there to help them with a particular problem they might have been having.
Well, and that's something that, you know, I hear my friends say these things, and I always say, you know, and you know, it's touching, right? Because it's an experience that's so different from mine. You know, showing up to the book fair and feeling like it's, you know, magical and welcoming and all these things. And also, you know, and taking in those perspectives and accessibility issues that me as a person of no color. Can I say that?
Very little color.
Can I say that? you know, I don't experience. And those aren't things that, you know, that I've experienced as a barrier. And so, you know, being conscious of that and hearing people say that is something that is valuable. And I know I mentioned a moment ago that I like the exclusivity involved in the event, and, you know, it's, and I am part of this collective,
and I
hear these things, and, you know, I know that, and this is one of the strengths of having people of different tendencies in the collective as well, because, you know, if it was up to me, it would be a like strict no phones whisper conversation in the corner with your like five sketchy friends or something, you know? So it's like, it's probably pretty good to have, different ideas going on.
I think that's a really good point, because we bring such, I don't think opposing is like the right term, but maybe depending on the
day. No, not opposing in the context of the very narrow context of anarchism, you know?
Yeah, like is on one end of the perspective and I'm on the other end of the perspective when it comes to that. So it's kind of good because we kind of tug at each other and we kind of meet in the center. I mean, there's disagreements. We don't always agree on it. But it's good, because otherwise I'd be going off and making this like about accessibility. And sometimes I forget about like, okay, this really needs to be for anarchists.
You know, it would be so difficult if we weren't friends beforehand and have like a whole, you know, a like deep friendship that is like before and outside of the book fair. And then that goes with other people in the collective, not just us.
So obviously the Book Fair Collective controls the content of like the workshops.
Control is a strong word.
Like decides which workshops are gonna at least be there. But in another sense, it's like there's a lot of people there. There are side conversations happening in the corner. To what extent do you as a collective try to shape or control or curate what kind of space the book fair is? Like, what things do you think you have that capacity to affect, and what things are sort of just whoever shows up makes it what it is?
So there's a few things that are boundaries on what we put, what we select, what workshops and tables and things like that we select for the book fair. And so we try really hard to have it be 50-50 French and English. In all honesty, we do struggle to have as many French applicants and
as English.
And we also try to encourage Spanish events as well. But it is something that we come up against. And so we, In trying to have that 50-50 split, we do take that into consideration when we're selecting workshops, when we're selecting tables. Also, who sends us in an idea for an event or a table? And some years we get a lot, some years we get less. It seems kind of relative to how much promo we do ahead of the time.
We got a lot this year.
Right. And so we do select based on that. There's not a criteria as much as a sort of like a principle that we come to that's, you know, we want a variety of events. We need to look outside of ourselves to imagine what would be of interest to people who are coming. And so we definitely choose events that no one on the collective finds particularly interesting, but could imagine that someone would.
Yeah. And also I think it's important to point out that like we try to center or prioritize workshops that are on anarchism we get proposals that are not necessarily particularly anarchistic, but that are still excellent proposals. So we do accept some of those if we have space, but if we don't have space, then those people would be asked to propose something for the Festival of Anarchy and find a venue on their own, and then we can promo it as part of the festival. But for the book fair itself, like, we really try to emphasize anarchy, because, I mean, if you're coming there to the Anarchist Book Fair to learn about anarchism, it's great to have workshops and presentations on anarchist topics.
And so, it does seem like a bit of a no-brainer. But I think people would be really shocked to see the amount of pitches that we get from people who are either, you know, they're not anarchists, but I think that there's a bit of a wiggle room there in terms of what is right. of interest to anarchists. And right. I think that there's a lot of things that are of great interest to anarchists that aren't specifically
anarchist adjacent.
Yeah. but then there's things that are clearly inappropriate for the event. So we'll have, you know, in the past we've had weird commie groups who want to come that if they had half a chance, they'd be stabbing us in the back, so they don't get to come. And, you know, or we have, like, well-intentioned leftists.
Yes,
and,
well-intentioned.
And not so well-intentioned liberal leftists sometimes.
Yes.
Something that comes up often as well is the idea that we're on the collective and we can decide who comes or not.
And, we are in a high position of authority.
Yeah,
here.
Well, I mean, we don't.
We are.
Yeah, you know, we don't have a set of rules because it's an anarchist book fair, but we also, you know, if we don't think an event is appropriate, then it doesn't get in.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's why there is a selection process. Right?
Yeah. And the selection
also,
process.
There's only so much room. So.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And of course, that's the other boundary on top of language, on top of, you know, being able to have a bit of, you know, making sure it's appropriate and having representation. But also we have limited space and we always have to reject proposals that, you know, we think are interesting, but,
yeah.
you know, can't, but other ones we want to give more space to because yeah. of limited space. The venues are, they're expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's only so many rooms we can rent. So
does the Book Fair Collective have, like, a working definition of anarchism or, like, a particular anarchist politics that you all hold that you use to decide, like, who can or can't present or table at the Book Fair?
No.
Really, no.
No, I mean, those are, okay, so those are two questions. So do we have a working definition of anarchism that we adopt as a collective? And, you know, the short answer is no.
Yeah.
We have pretty different tendencies, I think, as we alluded to earlier. But we do have, I guess, the common denominators of anarchy that guide our decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so no capitalists.
Right.
We're anti-capitalist. We're anti-oppression. We are anti-racist. We're anti-fascist. We're all those anti things. And
I mean, we try to be, right? Like,
yeah,
as much as possible.
As much as possible.
Like, we're still struggling with certain issues. And I think it's important to own that, right? Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we get so much criticism. we get love letters of criticism, like, not hate letters, but, like, when people have an issue with something we've decided or some way that we're making decisions or whatever, we definitely hear about it.
It's like,
and it's from all sides, right? It's like,
yeah.
you know, you can't win. Like, we'll have one policy. It's not good enough for a certain group. And then we'll change the policy to make, you know, that group more accommodated and more welcome. And then another group doesn't like it. So, I mean, it's a constant learning process, like anything else.
Well, and it's a constant, like, reflection process too, because it's,
yeah,
you know, we have to draw a line in some cases and really be confident in what we are, what we want to do, what we want to put out into the world. Because we have this issue sometimes where, because of the size of the event and because of the longevity of the event, that people approach us as though we're some kind of arbiter of anarchism. We're like a spokesperson. We're
event planners.
Yeah, exactly. We put a table out so people can
yeah.
sell books, but people treat it as though we are a spokespeople for anarchy. And it's troubling because we're deeply, deeply imperfect. And but also we suffer from the same kind of problems that any public event has, where if people have a problem with what we're doing, that's the feedback you get. You get feedback that's the negative feedback first. If there were Montreal Anarchist Book Fair Yelp reviews, we'd be out of business, you know what I mean?
One Google star.
I know. I went there and it was dirty.
No.
People were assholes. No, but we get, you know, we do get blowback for virtually everything. And, you know, I think that, I mean, I feel pretty lucky in the sense that I'm pretty involved in anarchism in Montreal, and I have friends who know me really well and are really able to, you know, distance who I am from what the book fair is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's good. But I think that on a larger scale, people do think that the book fair and what the collective decides to put out into the world is some kind of statement, or like that we're tastemakers, like in a sense, of anarchy, or we're gatekeepers of anarchy. And we, you know, we don't want to do that, but maybe I kind of want to do that a little bit sometimes. But, you know,
I have a couple points that I think are important to make. One is that as much as we choose the workshops and the tablers for the book fair, we actually don't refuse that many. It's not like we get, like, you know, 200 applications and we have to select 50% of that for tabling. And so, you know, I mean, we got 120. I think we can have around 100. So, or I think we probably accepted more than 100. So, I mean, it's not like, I mean, there's some applications that are clearly inappropriate for the book fair. Some, you know, I mean, we have our different reasons for not selecting them. So it's really the people who apply who are kind of framing the content of the book fair. Also, I think it's really important, and this is something that people don't seem to realize, is that the book fair collective members change from year to year. We've each been on the book fair for the last 3 years, and in those 3 years, the book fair, the content of the book fair collective, I mean, the people, has changed dramatically. And I mean, before we were on the book fair, from year to year, there were changes in people on the book fair collective. So that obviously brings different points of view, different issues, different priorities. So, you know, I've heard people complain about how the book fair collective is shitty or whatever, based on something that happened, you know, in like 2012 or something. So I think that that's something people have in mind, that like their idea of this book fair collective is this like group of people. It's a, you know, we're set in stone. It never changes. It's not like flexible, or it's, if it was a certain way 3 years ago, it's going to be a certain way today. And that's just totally unrealistic.
And that really reflects how, as we were mentioning before, that it's, you know, it's a community event first and foremost. And so the community that organizes it, community members who are organizing it, you know, we change. And the type of workshop that gets pitched to us changes based on, you know, larger anarchy trends, based on what's going on in the world. Those things change a lot, too.
You are listening to From Embers on CFRC 101.9 FM, or the podcast edition of From Embers Online. If you like what you're hearing and you want to listen to more of our content, you can check us out at fromembers.libsyn.com, or you could just search From Embers in your podcast app on your phone. You can also tune in here every single Wednesday on CFRC from 8 to 9 p.m. Next week is May Day. If you're in the Kingston area, you can tune in to From Embers to hear our May Day playlist, as well as some special International Workers' Day coverage. Or, better yet, join the annual May Day demonstration. You can catch free food in Skeleton Park at 5 p.m., or just join us in the streets at 6 o'clock. If you're outside of Kingston, check online or ask a friend. There's probably an event happening in your local area to mark May Day. 20 years is a long time. I understand that neither of you has been involved in organizing the book fair for the whole 20 years, and possibly no one, I would guess, has been involved. Is that true? That, like, are there any collective members that this is their 20th year organizing the book fair?
You're correct. Okay. There is complete turnover.
Didn't think so. But you've also obviously been going for a bunch of years. How have you seen the book fair change over the years?
In some ways, it's very much the same, and maybe this adds strength to the perception that it's an institution, but it, you know, in a lot of ways it is the same. For the whole time that I've been going, it's been in the same venue, and that's SEDA in the southwest of Montreal. And it's all the composite parts are the same. You know, there's someone selling food, there's people selling books, there's workshops. And so it's got those components. And so those things are really, to me, in a lot of ways, the same.
It's kind of comforting.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, I know when I come in, there's going to be certain people outside, you know, who didn't apply, but like they're doing full anarchy style and just showing up to like table, like sell their jewelry or whatever it is they make, their herbal concoctions.
Yeah, there's going to be like, there's going to be like 10 dogs outside on ropes. And yes. Then like, you know, someone's going to be juggling, and then you're going to go inside and it's going to be a bunch of stressed people with black rimmed glasses running around. You know, someone's cooking up beans that they'll give you later for $2. And, you know, there's a bunch of flyers. There's people, you know, there's the free table.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a free table.
Free table, of course. Yeah. And, you know, and then there's everyone you've ever met in one room.
Yeah.
And everyone you've ever dated, and everyone you've you gotten don't... a real bad fight with, and like all these people you maybe want to see, you maybe want to don't. And so you're
going to head to the care space.
Yeah, exactly. So there's this, so, you know, all these things are the same. You're going to, you know, there's the, that experience is very much the same. You know, I'm trying to think back to the first time, one of the first times I would come, and it does to me, you know, I interact with it in a lot of ways that are much the same. I see old friends. I talk about ideas. I pick up some new zines, and I go see some workshops that I'm interested in. Now, because I'm on the back end of it, it's a bit more hectic, or it's a bit more, you know, I don't get to see all the things I want to. And a lot of the interactions I have with tablers are more, how can I help you, than what are you distering this year?
Hmm. So. You all have come out with a few new policies this year as a collective. What are those, and how did they come to be?
The new policy that we came out with this year was we updated our policy on cultural appropriation. When I joined the collective, or when we both joined the collective 3 years ago, there had been a new updated policy, I think from 2015 or something, based on the fact that I think it was in 2015, the people who were selling food at the book fair made the executive decision to not serve anybody who was wearing culturally appropriative styles, aka white people with dreads or mohawks. A policy was drawn up, basically just letting people know that, you know, just be aware of, be conscious of your appearance and how the effect that might have on BIPOC people who attend the book fair. You know, with also stating that the book fair is not there to kind of police people's appearances. However, it came to our attention in various ways since we joined the Book Fair Collective that, you know, a good part of the BIPOC community, which I hate saying that because I'm BIPOC and I'm like, which community are you talking about? But anyways, like, you know, it came to our realization that the book fair, even if we were okay with the policy when we joined, that policy did not meet the needs of a large number of people of color who felt that hurt and unheard and basically not listened to. And that's really shitty because, you know, I mean, other groups of people have, you know, expressed concerns and have been listened to. We have like really strict policies about transphobia, about, you know, all the bad things. And yet when BIPOC people say, you know, there's this issue that is, you know, hurtful to us and we don't feel comfortable in this space, and we are not happy with your current policy and we will not go to the book fair, and for like years we're ignored pretty much. So we changed that as best as we could, that we feel, and that is basically that for tablers and presenters, so anybody who has, what is it you called it?
What?
Social, I don't know.
Cultural capital.
Cultural capital, that's it. Somebody like who has cultural capital, so somebody who's tabling and somebody who is presenting a workshop or a presentation or whatever, that if they are wearing appropriative, culturally appropriative styles or presenting culturally appropriative material, we, you know, we try to take a firmer stance on that, that is not welcome at the book fair. Obviously, we're not like into policing people who come into the book fair, because for us, the book fair is a place to learn about things.
how are you going to police or not police that for tablers and presenters? Like, how will you decide?
A lot of that work of talking about cultural appropriation has already been done. It's been done in people's own relationships and their friendships. And so it's not something that we anticipate actually coming up, to be honest. But, you know, and also, you know, within the collective, we have diverging opinions on what to do and about, you know, various things involved in the statement. But I mean, the core of it is that we're not here to be checking people's hairstyles at the door. This is something that applies to people who are participating in the book fair. It's the tablers, it's presenters, things like that. And if a presenter has, you know, read the statement and the application, and then they show up with the most absurd
mohawk,
like box braids.
I see that a
no,
lot.
No, I know, but if they show up with that, to me, like, I personally am not going to go give them although I would support people wholeheartedly, enthusiastically who do.
I think, though, that I kind of disagree, though. Like, I think that it is our responsibility to enforce it, because the way I see it is that, you know, if somebody came up to us and was like, look, somebody showed up and they're being totally transphobic, I mean, I'd be like, okay, they gotta go. They can't, mm-hmm. like, take up space here and, like, make people uncomfortable and feel shitty. And I think that's the same, like, and I think that's the problem we've been facing, is that, like, we always think, like, oh, well, it's just a hairstyle. It's just, you know, mm-hmm. someone's appearance. It doesn't count as much as, you know, someone saying really shitty things that are fucked up. But that's the message we've been ignoring. That's what we've mm-hmm. been, you know, is people have been saying, you know, like, I actually have major beef with the book fair and I don't want to go to it anymore because, you know, I feel like whatever, insulted or disregarded because this is really offensive to me.
Yeah. Well, no,
do those sorts of things.
Well, and I think that's obviously where we're on the same page. We, you know, we agree that it's right. Yeah. But I think maybe the point we diverge is our personal responsibility in it. And I think the example you gave of, you know, if there was someone being transphobic would, you know, like obviously we would, and if someone was being shitty in any ways that's oppressive to other people there, of course they got to leave, or they need to be dealt with. And I think the part where maybe I differ is that as Book Fair Collective members, is it our responsibility to be the ones to kick them out? And I think that I take issue with how that reifies the perception that we are in a position of authority. And so I almost feel, as someone who loves getting in a fight and also who loves talking trash on people in public,
loves
loudly
drama,
fucking, like, give it to me, you know, like, I like, holy shit. Like, if you knew me in person, one of my favorite things is heckling. And
everyone wear mohawk box braids.
let me do it. But the thing is, you know, one of the things that would give me restraint is knowing that I'm on the collective in a sense, is that, you know, whereas if I was at a show and someone is being racist or transphobic, like, it would not be a question if I would, you know, like, give a helping hand in removing them. But at the book fair, I think that, you know, I do need to be conscious of my position in that, but also...
But we have
again,
removed people from the book fair.
Oh, yeah, we've done it, but because I fucking love it. But this is the problem.
No, but we were also asked to, right?
Exactly, so... but this is the thing, is I reflect on those instances, and I think that there's something about the implication that it should be my responsibility that I'm not really excited about, and I'll support people if they ask for the help in the way that we'd support anyone at the book fair who's having any kind of range of situations that could be happening, that will have support and solidarity with them. But I think, you know, I maintain that in any case like that, I would encourage people to have their friends and people who they have a lot, you know, more connection with other than representatives of an event, you know, like people who put books on a table, to handle these things, whereas I think that it's really the task of the community and your friendships and your people you have affinity with and your comrades to take that
it's
on.
It's funny, though, because when there is a situation, people are always looking for the collective members.
They always... No, it's because...
You know what I mean? Like, it's
everyone's
like
a secret f-ing bootlicker, I swear to God. Yeah, quote me on that. Put it in the podcast. Fucking people need to handle your own f-ing problems.
who decides what is and isn't cultural appropriation? Is it the community or is it the Book Fair Collective?
The reason we keep coming back to dreads and mohawks as being the two things that are discussed the most is because those are the two things that were brought to our attention by BIPOC people. So, I mean, like, if people had come to us and were like, why are there so many white people wearing bindis, then, you know, we'd be talking about bindis. But the fact is that, like, a high number of Black people and other people of color and Indigenous people, you know, have said that they will not come to the book fair. The book fair is like whatever, because, you know, there's too many crackers with dreads, or like, you know, we don't have a solid policy against cultural appropriation. So because of mohawks and dreads.
Yeah. I mean, it is something that, again, you know, it's there's no checklist. And I know that that's an unsatisfactory answer for probably a lot of people who will be listening, is that, you know, there's no algorithm where you can see if what you're wearing is acceptable, because that's a really weird way to look at it. You know, it's we're not, and the people who attend and the BIPOC people who have brought these things to our attention are not like, they're not hysterical. You know, they're not like going into just a fit because, you know, they see this thing happening, and they, you know, it's just like, and anytime anyone sees, you know, a white person with a mohawk, they're like, just, they can't function. You know, it's like ridiculous. Like there's discretion. These are not, this isn't a black and white thing. And I think reducing it to the Book Fair Collective, or even putting that responsibility on BIPOC people and saying, you know, oh, they're offended by cultural appropriation things, and it's this, you know, even if like there's just some person who hasn't got the knots out of their hair, they're going to ban you from the book fair. That's ridiculous. And it's to think that, to put that in the voice of people who are bringing up these concerns, because it's belittling and it's simplifying something that's a complex experiential thing. And I think that a lot of the heat we get for these types of policies really makes these straw men that play on racist characters. I mean, frankly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain the process by which you do or plan to exclude perpetrators from the book fair?
Yes. So we have had a long-standing and controversial policy of excluding perpetrators of at one point, it was sexual assault and sexual violence, intimate partner violence, and of course, you know, that doesn't really represent the whole range of abusive behavior that people tend to do to each other. And what we have done in the past, and we do a form of this still, is if there's anyone in the community who's coming to the book fair and would like support by way of excluding someone who's been abusive to them, they can let us know, and we will contact the person who is being who's been asked to be excluded, and just inform them that they aren't welcome at the book fair this year. And that's something we do to support survivors of abuse and violence and sexual assault. And we that's something that's come up in the past, is, you know, much like all the other criticisms that we've mentioned of the event, there's this tendency to frame the book fair as a group of people who can tell, deem someone an abuser or not. Mm-hmm. And that's really not how we understand it. We understand it as supporting survivors and helping them come to an event and asking someone, you know, respectfully asking that the person who has been accused of abuse step aside and let them have that space. People who are survivors don't need us to tell them that their experience is real. They know it's real. They know it's something that's affecting them. And we're only here to offer support. And so when people are excluded, when we've been notified and we email them or contact them in another way to let them know that, you know, that we requested they don't come up to the book fair that year, it usually isn't a problem. Honestly, we don't really get that much response, even at all. it's generally pretty smooth. And so what we would do in past years is, I mean, it sounds bad, but there's a list of people who we used to contact every year to say, just heads up, you're still not welcome at the book fair. And that's something that, you know, through a lot of conversation and discussion, debate internally, that we've really tried to turn around and say, you know, we don't need to contact someone every year to remind them that they're not welcome.
Because they don't like that. I wonder why, right?
Well, like, of course, but I mean, also it's like,
it's obvious too.
It seemed excessive. And it also, in some of these cases, we've been emailing someone perennially for years and it seemed counterproductive. So we took the steps to really just contacting everyone who we've been asked to exclude in past years and just say, you know, you're just not welcome at the book fair anymore until we're notified by the survivor involved that, you know, the situation's changed, that there's been some kind of reconciliation or process or, you know, some kind of conclusion to it. And their level of comfort has changed and that, you know, we'd like to have you back. But until further notice, stay home.
I think the other change to point out was just that, you know, it used to be for, you know, sexual violence and intimate partner violence or whatever. And now it's changed to, you know, being much more general because there are people who've been excluded for being transphobic towards trans women, for, you know, being emotionally or psychologically abusive. So it's not necessarily always sexually related. And also it doesn't necessarily always involve an intimate partner. So yeah, I think we just try to clean up that policy to make it as like straightforward and simple as possible so that it, you know, I mean, I think before it was open to a lot of interpretation and people were kind of like, well, this doesn't really fit the description. So how come, you know, it goes against your policy to exclude this person or that person. And so we dealt with that by like just taking out a lot of the details.
Well, and that's something that, you know, I find, I mean, maybe this is a bigger conversation, but I find that we have policies with lots of detail and lots of clauses in them that people wield them at us, you know, in this way that, you know, you're not abiding by your own policy when at the end of the day, like, we do what we want.
Also, you know? Like, I mean, other than like organizing the book fair in like the few months leading up to the book fair, it's not like we're like dreaming about how we can like change the book fair policies, like, you know, in August, September. Well, like, we don't live, we are not the book fair. We are the collective that organizes an event.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, I mean, we're not getting paid to do this. We have limited time.
Well, yeah.
So, and it's a huge responsibility to like deal with everybody's heartache and everybody's like, you know, not feeling safe and like,
it is something that we, you know, it's, you know, and then this is, you know,
we don't have the capacity and we don't have the,
well, it's not appropriate. It sounds shitty to say it's not our job, you know, but it's fucking weird. But the thing is, it's, you know, really at the end of the day, we're a book fair. We are not the best mediators. We're not going to be as good as people want us to be in resolving conflict. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I think it's inappropriate to expect us to do, but the expectation has been there. And I think that in a sense, you know, I could see how someone would say like, you're hosting an event. It's your responsibility to make sure it's as safe as possible, you know? And I understand that, but we do what we can in the context of the event that we did sign on for, which is putting on a book fair. So we're fully aware that there's going to be problems. There's going to be times when we f up. There's going to be people who wield the exclusions process in ways that are abusive. Like, we're aware of this.
Oh, yes.
But we also understand that, again, we're putting on a book fair with the people involved and the time that we have. The best we can do is support people in exclusions policy. And we hope that people in the community of not just survivors, but also perpetrators, you know, do the fucking work of talking to your comrades, talk to your friends, talk to people who are having behavior, talk to people who are fucking suffering, give them support, and provide that where the book fair can't, because we rent a room to put books on a table.
What are some things that you are looking forward to or that we should all look forward to at this year's Anarchist Book Fair?
Well, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be really big. I'm really excited about the podcasts. Maybe Mom wants to talk to you about that a little bit more since it's kind of her baby.
It is my baby. I'm a big podcast fan. And so I've been, and I think that, you know, it's the way of the future is how people are getting turned on to anarchy, the coolest thing ever. So I think that that's one way that people are really being introduced to anarchist ideas and sharing ideas. And so we've included a base for podcasts this year. And we, aside from that, as you mentioned, it's big. and we're really excited about a lot of things. We just sent out our confirmations of the events. And so we'll be publishing all of the schedule soon-ish. Once we figure out who goes where and what time slots and making sure everyone's confirmed that they will be coming. And so I don't want to give it too much away so just yet. But we do have really interesting workshops this year. Every single one is a winner. Like, no duds.
Yeah.
Not one dud. Art exhibit looks like it's going to be great. The food. One of the things I'm really excited for is that the last couple of years, my friend here has been just killing it in the kitchen. And the food has been amazing. It's cheap. It's healthy. It's tasty. And I want to put it out, the last 3 years that the both of us have been on the book fair, the coffee has been ready in the morning.
Oh, yeah. And there's been enough of it, too.
And there's been enough of it.
It didn't run out. That's really important. Yeah.
If so, nothing else.
We should all be excited that we'll be adequately caffeinated at the book fair.
It was a huge complaint in past years. Like, people were actually really angry that the coffee would run out.
I've heard this.
So it was actually, like, a priority for us.
Yeah, we bought coffee makers. I'm excited about really... And this sounds weird because, again, you know, I'm in organizer mode, but just having our together a bit more than we normally do.
God.
Because, I don't know, I mean...
It feels so good.
Honestly, like,
last year was
a
like...
secret I'd like to share with everyone is that, you know, we had a pretty big turnover in the Book Fair Collective a couple years ago. And last year it was really like mostly the two of us doing it. Last year was a bit of a, you know, we pulled it off, but it was
with the skin of our teeth,
extremely difficult. But also one of the things that we did differently that really helped was we outsourced a lot of the tasks. And what we did was...
We did?
Yes, we did. So one of the things that, you know, I'm coming from the perspective where I'm not really a huge fan of formal organizing. I think informal anarchy is the way to go. And one of the things that... one informal organizing thing that really helped was we... kind of just created a signal group of a lot of friends who were willing to pitch in here and there to help us with some things. And that really 100% floated the book fair. We had people who, you know, we'd just get on the group chat and say, can someone translate this? And it'd get done.
Get more coffee.
Can someone get coffee? Can someone get us change? Can someone help out with this? Help out with that? Can someone pick up posters? Can someone do this? You know, it was really just people taking on the one task they could do, but not having to be burdened with the collective, the capital C, the collective TM. You know, it was very, very, very awesome. It's just how many friends really helped out leading up to the book fair with all these little tasks, but also really held it down throughout the weekend. So last year was chaotic, but we pulled it off so much with the help of many people doing a little bit. And this year we have a lot more people in the collective. We are way more prepared. We selected our events. We're getting the posters done. We're so on it this year.
Oh my God.
It'll help a lot because
it feels like a transition year.
It does. It really seems like we're catching our stride.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like from internally, not like what people see when they get there, but from a collective organizing standpoint, like we had to rebuild the collective.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And that's the thing is when you're attending, you might not pick up on that.
There are so many little anecdotes about how last year was like a potential disaster. that, like, I think we got the call out on the announcement list 2 weeks before the book fair. Like, we were supposed to send out, not the call out, it was the invitation to the book fair. Like, we're supposed to send out the call out to table. Like, it's a miracle people, like,
yeah,
heard about the book fair and applied. It was like,
mm-hmm,
we didn't have the information we needed. We didn't have passwords. You know, we were not being given the password. It was like a complete ridiculous mess.
Yeah. No access to the bank account. Like,
oh yeah, we didn't even know where the bank was. Yeah, I mean, like, last year I was really proud of the book fair, even though it was a bit smaller and, like, we didn't have as many selections, you know, proposals and stuff. But, like, just the fact that we actually f-ing pulled it off when everything was going against us was really,
mm-hmm,
quite a feat.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is it also being able to turn it around completely. Because last year, you know, we still had, like, thousands of people, but it was less than in the previous year because we were so late getting out in our call outs and everything, right? We were like, and, you know, even just getting the word out about the event, even though at this point it's kind of like self-propelling, you know, like people know it happens every year and they know who to contact and whatever. But a lot of our promo material, a lot of our call outs were late. And so we had less workshops, less applicants, things like that. But this year already, you know, we have so many more than last year. It's just wild. And, you know, it's showing that we really have, like, overcome that, like, lull. All this to say, of course, that when people come to the book fair this year, you'll notice that there's a donation bin for financial donations that you can give us in appreciation for all the hard work that we do for you.
The Montreal Anarchist Book Fair is coming up fast, May 25th and 26th this year. But there's still time to make travel plans if you're not in Montreal and you'd like to check it out. You can find the Book Fair Collective on Facebook or Twitter or on their website, anarchistbookfair.ca. That's all we've got for you tonight on From Embers. As always, if you've got feedback or just want to get in touch, you can contact us at fromembers@riseup.net. Thanks for listening.
After the 2016 election, a lot of us woke up to some harsh realities. In the aftermath of dark events, I came back to political work with a new sense of urgency. But after a few months of showing up to protest every weekend, I started to burn out. It didn't feel like anything was changing. In fact, maybe things were even getting worse. And it got me thinking, what comes next? Rebel Steps is a podcast about what comes next. You'll hear episodes on letter writing to political prisoners, practicing mutual aid, and creating political art. You'll hear the voices and stories of my community in New York City, spotlighting a range of organizers from the Metropolitan Anarchist Coordinating Council, NYC Books Through Bars, Anarchist Black Cross, Lower Manhattan Food Not Bombs, Brand Workers, and more. I'll walk you through what you can do to start plugging into movements and learning organizing skills step by step. If you've been to a march or two and you're looking to jump in, this podcast is for you. Or if you have friends looking for more, pass it on. Listen at rebelsteps.com, on iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast.